Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen. Oh, my God. Everybody's on Blog Talk tonight. I couldn't barely get in tonight. It's a Friday of Fridays, huh? I guess they didn't pass that stimulus. Everybody want to talk about it. Huh. Okay, well, that ain't why we're here. We're here to talk about the Lord and His Sabbath. So we want to say amen. Welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, a Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class. And here at the Sound of Living Waters, we had dedicated this Black History Month to our mothers and our sisters and our daughters in the Word of God that put forth the Word of the Kingdom. And, you know, it's a lot of times that our mothers get an honorary mention, you know, like a woman like Cicely Tyson or something to that effect, you know. But you never hear them talk about, you know, or Harriet Tubman, you know, they really downplayed that story. But that's another thing. One second, I'm going to have to get a... I'm opening the mic. So just give me one second. Amen. So let's get into this precept. Tonight we are dealing with Esther. Esther, I mean, you know, of all our mothers in Christ, man, Esther, you know, I mean, she really did it big for us. She saved a whole kingdom, a whole tribe, you know, from slaughter, from violence, you know, of the enemy and things of that nature. So hold on a second. So I'm going to apologize for it. It's just like everything is kind of press. Once again, had one of them really, really super late days. And it seemed like that.
Hey, Rick. Hold on.
So I have another one of them late days and running, getting things to eat before the Sabbath come in. Stuff like that. So here we are, man. I mean, it is the Sabbath and the Father is merciful. Don't have to work tomorrow. So we should be able to get this precept for tomorrow morning off. And that one there, we're going to dedicate that one to all the sisters whose name wasn't mentioned, but put in work, you know, because they did work, but their name wasn't mentioned for the other reason, maybe the author or the, you know, the person that actually translated the scripture, then couldn't understand it, or maybe didn't think it was important enough to mention. But we're going to mention the work because the work is in the book. So if it's in the book, it's in the book of life. So we want to bring those things up. And the AM side of this Black History Month, that's tomorrow morning here at 10 o'clock AM Central Standard Time. And we want to get into that. But tonight, man, we're dealing with Esther. We're dealing with our mother Esther. She is an elect. She was predestinated for the call that she was called to do. And the God of Israel used her to save an entire kingdom of people. And this is her story. But as we've been dealing with all the other sisters throughout the scriptures, we ask a few questions, you know, do they fit this scripture that we can actually say that this is of them or this is the example of what this really is. So we've been asking that question, so we want to start with that. You know, so first we're going to open up. I'm going to ask our brothers if they can stand face to Jerusalem and uncover their heads, and the sisters, if you can, stand face to Jerusalem and cover your head as we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit. And give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith performing. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us. Send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Okay, so we've been opening up this entire month with this precept, with this verse, right? And it says this, and we in Proverbs chapter 7, and it says this, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman. You see, this is that thing. 1 second. We online. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we had an issue, man. The lines must have been blowing up. We could barely get in, man. So we really just logged in literally like about 5 or 10 minutes ago. So we're just getting into the first scripture.
Where we at?
That's Proverbs chapter 7 and 4.
Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep.
So that's what we're going to ask this question. Is Esther wisdom? Because he wrote this law that this is what sisters in Christ, Hebrew women from Sarah all the way to the kingdom of God is supposed to carry themselves. Not in the manner of this world or the Babylonian mindset, but the Eastern mindset. Those things that pertain to God, not this. So we're asking this question, is Esther wisdom? Because if she is, and that's my sister, Esther understanding, and if so, she's a kinswoman. So this is all would be pertaining to her, that God wrote her into the creation, which, hey man, cat's already out the bag. She was definitely predestinated to perform the things that she did. Let's look at this a little further. Go in Proverbs chapter 8 and 1.
Eight and one. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men.
Stop. So this is her. She said her voice is going to go into the street. Right? And she's going to call on to man, right? And it says, and she's standing in the high places, and she cries at the gate, at the entry of the cities, at the coming in of the doors, right? So we got to see if Esther actually do this. Because if she do, then hands down, she is our sister, right? Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and Proverbs chapter 31 and 10. Proverbs 31 and 10.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She lifts her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yet she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with garland. She maketh herself coverings of papers, of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh fed to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children raise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. She shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Remember that conversation again. It says, and let her works praise her in the gates. That's wisdom, right? And he said, she's virtuous, right? So she's putting in work. You know, like a Rebecca kind of work thing. So she wanted him. You know, now, once again, Rebecca is the one that excelled them all. She knew more uno virtuoso. She is the most virtuous woman that was ever born on the planet. She put the face of Rebecca on Proverbs 31 and 10 hands down. Why? Because she did exactly everything that was written in this here book concerning a virtuous woman. Everything. From go, she was about it. from gold. And she brought forth two kingdoms. She brought forth the kingdom that we exist in now, which is the one of the world, which is one of the Esau's running out up under the birds or the Roths or whatever you want to call them, them dudes. Anyway, that's Esau. He gave them that. And then she gave birth to the kingdom of heaven. She gave birth to the resurrection. That's why he said two manner of people is inside of you, one of the flesh and one of the spirit. Nobody is going to surpass Rebecca. Not now. Sarah set the standard. Nobody passing that. She is the face of virgin. Now, is since she put this standing it, where's Esther it on this here thing, right? Okay, go to Revelations chapter 12 and 1. Revelations 12 and 1.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder.
Hold on. Now, do she fit this here scripture? Is she a queen before the world? Do she fit this? Right? But she ain't just any kind of queen. She's a virtuous queen. She got to represent that Proverbs chapter 31 and 10. This don't come with pride and arrogance. So do she fit this when she in this earth in her time do she wed and is she with children? That's another question, right? Okay, let's look at this a little further. Go to Psalms 45, and we're going to ask this question: do she fit this scripture? Because this is what we ask all of our mothers. This is what we ask the Sarah, she fit all of these. Every last one of them. Rebecca, hands down, fit all of these. Leah, all of them. You know, but then it started trembling and dwelling off like, you know, like Rachel, she had, you know, she was virtuous, but she wasn't one of the ones that excelled. You know, and then you had different administrations of the spirit, like Miriam. She was a judge, you see, but she wasn't a wife. And she didn't have any children. So her conversation wasn't that her husband was known in the street because she was married to God. Like I said, she was a prototype of what a nun looked like, you know, but not looking all like she just climbed out of a shadow, but she was in linen and gold and was looking beautiful how we look in white and linen and gold. You know, because Moses had on gold, too. Aaron had on gold. They had on gold. Their waist was wrapped in gold. They had real gold on them. All the old fat, the stuff you never can find, you've never seen in this world. We never seen that gold. The captives, the common men, your first-class citizens, so to say, never seen that gold. That kind of conversation. She wore that. Anyway, do she fit this here conversation, 45 and 9? Continue. Where you at?
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, Psalms 45 and 9.
King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear, forget also thine own people in thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with the gift, even the rich among them shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of wrought gold. she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. That of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever.
Amen. So we're going to ask this question. Do she fulfill these scriptures? You know, he said the king's daughters are among the honorable women. So is she honorable? Right? Did she stand a queen in gold? Right? Did she consider God and her people? You know, 10, did she fulfill that? So should God greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship God. Did she believe in him? Did she worship God? Did she fulfill 11? The daughters of Tyre shall be there with the gift. So are the strangers going to bless her with increases, even the rich among the people, right? The governors and things like that. So are they going to bless her, right? And he said, the king's daughters are all glorious within, and her clothing is all gold. So even though all this is going on, she's as humble as a slice of humble pie. She's a meek and humble spirit. Right here, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is raw gold. Can she wear this scripture, chapter 45 and 13? Can Esther wear this? Can she put this on, right? So this thing here, it said, she shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, shall follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So do she fulfill this? And they said, but with glad and rejoicing, they shall be brought into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers, shall be thy children, that whom thou makest princes in the earth. So is her children going to be princes in the planet, right? In order for children to be prince in the planet, that means she has to be married to a king. And then it said, and I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever. So is Esther still in the planet? I mean, Red Fox might have killed that, but, you know, Esther is still in the planet. That name is 21st century. Red Fox will never let you forget that name. Reverse psychology. You will never forget that name. So that was from God, because he can't lie, right? So do she fulfill this scripture, you know, 45 and 17. So let's go into Esther, the book of Esther, and let's start at verse 1.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, whose reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him, when he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom.
Hold on. So this is the Medo-Persian Empire. This is just before Alexander the Great took over, right? This is that conversation. So he is king over everything. He right at the he's at the Medes, which was at the Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. He took over their planet. You know what I mean? So he like the king of the world. Right? Look, he over 127 provinces. And he said he ran from India, from Ethiopia. This dude was power, for real. Read on.
When he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace both great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of linen and purple and silver rings and pillars of marble, the beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black and marble.
He did it big. This cat was broke off. He was Solomon-like broke off. You see what I'm saying? He was doing a Solomon thing, right? But on the Gentile side, he was flipping Solomon party, so to say. He was doing a Solomon feast. He was doing the gold, the purple, the linen, all this stuff, man. This place was dressed up. Read on.
And they gave him drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. The drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure.
It's the law of how much you can drink back in 1 and 18. No wonder they so happy on that. You know what I'm saying? Because they did it anyway. They did it back here. And Esther day, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, you know. So they drank this according to the law measure, right? Your horse can take you home, you good. Your donkey can take you home, you good. If not, there was lodges, it was inns. This is a city. Like, just like any other, just was ran by oil. That's all. Read on.
Also, Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bezbitha, Harbana, Bigtha, Abigtha, Zithar, and Carcass, and the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come.
Ooh, in front of the whole kingdom, Jack, and he blew it up. He had gold and silver all dressed up. This thing, man, he been drawing this party out, and she pulled one of these deals. To what purpose? It don't even say. All I know is Ahasuerus wasn't a bad dude because she had a party going on while he had a party going on, and he didn't even say nothing about it. She had her own set with her chambermaid. He didn't even ill. He had a party over here, and she was partying over there. He didn't say one word, but he said, "Now, go get her." And that's when she dishonored him in front of the whole planet. Read that line again.
Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizta, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise man, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Amatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcina, Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed and of the queen shall come abroad to all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. And it shall be reported the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the king, of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the law, the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she.
Stop! And see if God going to be against that. See if you see the Holy Ghost come at one time and say, hold on, this is your wife. Now, wait a minute. You may be overdoing it. She ain't just dishonored her king. She dishonored the law. And she taught women how to dishonor the law. If she got away with that, then she would be an instructor of the corrupt. So he went and he said, I'm going to seek wise counsel. And what did they say? Cut off. Give her estate to someone else that's better than her. This man was over 100 and whatever provinces. And he had seven princes up under him. And, you know, he doing it really big before the whole world. And she took that to front them off. What was in her? So let's see if God is against that. Let's see what God say about her doing that and what he do with the king for saying, okay, well, now, just cut off, right? Read on.
And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, but both the great and small. And the saying pleased the king, and the princes and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people.
What? That was from God. That was from God. Took it right back to the guard. Took it right back to Genesis 3:16. Ain't nobody else got no say-so in your house. Nobody. That's a law, not just in, not in the word of God, but even in the world. He has this written. It's etched in stone in both realms. It's in the spiritual realm and the physical. There it is. Can't get around. So he's telling us that women is going to be judged according to this, that he wrote into the creation that if they don't perform the things that they're supposed to, and that every man should bear rule in his own house, they'll be judged, they should be cut off. Are we listening? They'll be fit to be cut off. Are we listening? In both realms, not just in this one, but that's also the God of Israel was in agreement with this. So that was both heaven and earth. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go right into 2. Pick it up at 1.
After these, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought before the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the king and the thing pleased the king, and he did so.
So now the king is out here. Now he said, okay, now Vashti out of here. So now he's finding a wife, not a concubine, a wife to take her place, a queen. Concubines is a different conversation from a queen. In fact, the book even say, curse is the house of a when a maid become the mistress or something like that. Because they ain't built for that. They're not made for that. Everybody ain't made to be king, and everybody ain't made to be queen or mistress or head of anything. Some are Hagar. Some are Rachel. Some going to be Bilhah and Zilpah and Keturahs. And the Ethiopian woman, some it's going to be that way. It's just the way it is. They take it away from the word because Moses married Keturah's granddaughter, which was Abraham's granddaughter. So, I mean, it ain't like it's a really bad thing when you look at it as a whole because it do work out. Look how it worked out for Moses. Kept him on the straight. He come out of Egypt out of straight idolatry. And who did he run in? A descendant of his great-grandfather, Abraham, to teach him how to serve one God, the priest of Midian. His name is Jethro. It's written in the book.
Now, in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, and a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away.
See, this is before we went back up under Nehemiah. We in that transition thing before, Xerxes is his descendant. Xerxes haven't made the decree yet. It's going to be made, but up under here. So you can see how the Lord is working on the kings of Medo-Persia through the people. So now you see this taking place, and you're like, okay, now you can see why in Xerxes will say, the God of heaven, the God of heaven and earth that made me king of the world has given me a charge to tell Israel to go back to build they temple. Now you can see why that was in him, because he's seen the power of their God. Not like today, you know. They don't see the power of our God. They don't believe in his power. But they did back then. And those of us that's in the know, and them that's in the know our God. And no, he is not the one in that Tetragrammaton. You can get out of here with that. That ain't him. That ain't his name.
And he brought up Hadassah. Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and when the maid was fair, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women.
Stop. So Esther was fine. She was a virgin. She was a maid, right? A maid, fair and beautiful. How do you get to be fair and beautiful? I thought fair meant beautiful or just beyond beauty. But she was fair beyond beautiful. What? What? We got us another Sarah thing going here. This Israelite is that fine. She a Benjamite, right? She looked that good that the law said She was fair and beautiful, right? But is this her whole goal? Is this her whole dig? Is this what she all about? Is she all about looks? Remember, now beauty is vain. And favor is deceit. But she that feared the Lord, let her be praised. Let's see with where that's the measure out here. Can you read?
And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which things as belonged to her, and said the maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not shewed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should shew it, that she should not shew it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what some of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in unto King Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days.
So all these women, instead of him just jumping them, man, they had to be educated to approach him for a year? Man, we take these conversations for light. She had to be taught how to approach the king. Just like a woman had to be taught how to approach her husband. In fact, that's what all it's been about since we started in the garden. And now here we are talking about this woman right now that's fulfilling all of these things that was mentioned in the garden. We don't.
For so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go out with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women. Custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines, she came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, that she were called by name. Now in the turn of Esther, of the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house, royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
Stop. So she did fulfill Revelation chapter 12 and 1. She did fulfill Psalms 5 and 9. She said a queen. And her virgins were there with her. There they are with her, right? That's fine. So she was written in the law that she was going to do these things. See that? So here she is, she doing them. He said he loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. Not that they didn't obtain grace and favor in his sight, because they did. He took care of them. And he loved them too. He just loved Esther above all of them. And she obtained more grace and favor than all of them. So he set the royal crown upon her head, made her queen instead of Vashti's, and they became concubines. I said, well, and there it is. I mean, how come this is still running, man? I mean, it's all, it's not even in our, it's not just in our culture, it's in the world at large, right? The stuff in this 21st century homosexual reality that we're living in. Esther 2:18.
Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet shewed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther
whoa. So there she is in Proverbs chapter 7:4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Say unto understanding, thou art my kinswoman. See it? There she is right there. See it? That is her. That is her in Proverbs chapter 7:4. Read on.
Esther had not chewed yet. Esther had not yet shewed her kindred nor people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him.
And that's her wisdom. That's her wisdom. You see that? So Mordecai was a wise man. He taught her how to be a queen. And she listened. And she never stopped listening. You see that? Even though she was queen, she never stopped listening to him. She said Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as she did when she was brought up with him. She didn't change her manners. So she still was a humble, yet a very beautiful woman, but she was full of humility. So she do fulfill that Psalms chapter 45 and what was that, 12, and he said, the king's daughter is all beautiful within. Because you know she was dialed up. He put the crown on her head. But that wasn't the thing with her when it came to Mordecai. Because Mordecai taught her God and how to coexist in the world, not to be in the world. She never forgot that. 21.
In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, out of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king and his shoes. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, they were both hanged on the tree, and it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king.
See that? There it is. Now, let's look at this a little further, right? So now, we're going to run into Haman, which is going to have a problem with Mordecai, but he don't know that Mordecai is a prophet, right? So he going to put his hand towards the Lord's prophet and going to find out he's going to get all his family killed. Esther 3:1.
And after these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Haman, beat the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew.
That is. He ain't going to bow down to no mercy. I told you he was a prophet. I told you he was a man of God. That's why Esther trusted him above the king. That's why she never changed that. That's what she said. She listened to him like as the time is before. Even though she was married to a king and had all his scholars and all his doohickeys and gizmos and all that 20, whatever that century was thing back then, and to her, Mordecai was the answer of God. And she was right. He is the answer of God. He's going to teach her how to save all the people, and she's going to listen to the letter and perform it. But what if she got into her flesh and said, well, I'm a queen and I don't care. That's on him. You know what I mean? What if she popped off like that? Is she in the kingdom? Is she mentioned among Proverbs chapter 7 and 4 or 31 and 10 or Revelations 12 and 1 or Psalms 45? Is she mentioned among that? No. But that's the standard. That's the criteria. If you're not mentioned among that as a woman, you're in trouble because that's y'all standard. Not this American standard that you've been told. This is your standard. As a Hebrew Israelite woman, this is your standard. Read on.
And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed, not spoke to him reverence then, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shewed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before human Haman from the day, from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And the laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business.
Oh, record, everybody, these monsters being named, those are not Hebrew names. Those are heathen names. We only hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and Abib. That's it. You didn't hear the God of Israel call this out of their mouth. This is among them. Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity.